But thank you so much for doing this and giving us your some of your very valuable time.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you very much, Rabbi Fine. It's nice to see everybody there on Impact. I just want to point out that this shiur is being sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Fine, Lizchus Rafu Shlema, for Rafael Ben Rivka Chana, who's a grandson of Rabbi Charlap Shlita from Yeshiva, and also for Devora Adina Bas Chana Avigail, Eshbizacha to Rafu Shlema Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So I wasn't sure what to talk about. I asked for some guidance, and I don't know, the topics I was given weren't particularly, no offense, you know, to whoever suggested, but they were very nondescript in the end. You know, someone suggested talking about moving down seats at a ball game, but then they said, no, you can't talk about that. We're about to go to a ball game. So I guess we're not talking about that. And then the suggestions were like, be a good person or something like that, you know, so like kind of nondescript. So I figured what we'll do instead is we'll talk a little bit about the Parsha, you know, this week's Parsha, as well as Rosh Chodesh Elul, which is coming up. This Shabbos, we are going to be Mevarech Chodesh Elul. So that should certainly strike a certain amount of, I don't know if you want to call it fear. In some places, yes, fear. In other places, at least a certain sense of seriousness, a certain sense of recognition that we're about to hit on a very important time of the year. And as you're enjoying yourselves, where are you, in Cleveland now? Where are you? Yeah, as you're enjoying yourselves in Cleveland and wherever you're going to be traveling, all the different amusement parks and the ball games and everything else, you know, when you hear Shabbos Rosh Chodesh mentioning that we're mentioning Rosh Chodesh Elul, and you come home right around Rosh Chodesh Elul, you should realize it's a serious time of the year. So I want to talk a little bit about that and maybe give like one idea or assignment, you know, so to speak, to work on for Chodesh Elul. You know, Chodesh Elul is the kind of thing I think it's unique in Judaism that there are tons and tons of remuzim for the word Elul itself that are quoted in a variety of svarim. If someone told me that Elul is Rashi Tevos, Ani Uman v'Ishti Leshver, you know, that a guy goes to Uman and his wife goes to the in-laws, it's so easy to make up mnemonics with Elul, it's so easy to make up a Rashi Tevos with Elul, because of the four letters of the word Elul, three of them are prefixes, right? Meaning le, vi, le. So you could say whatever you want. You know, you could. It lends itself to it. But probably the most famous remez for Chodesh Elul is the one quoted by the Mishnah Brura in Simin Tav Kuf Pei Aleph Sif Katan Aleph. The Mishnah Brura says that Elul represents a Rashi Tevos of a phrase in the sixth parak of Shir HaShirim, which is, I'm sure you could all say it out loud if I were to just tell you, Elul is Ani, L'dodi v'dodi li, that I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Now, if we're going to assume that on some level Shlomo HaMelech was actually alluding to Elul with that phrase of Ani L'dodi v'dodi li, It's a little bit funny that he would choose a word like Dodi as a description of our relationship with Hashem at this time of the year. Meaning we relate to Hashem in a lot of different ways. You know, Hashem is our God, Hashem is our judge, Hashem is our master, Hashem is our father, Hashem is our, right? He's a lot of different things. My beloved, Ani L'Dodi, why not just like, you know, Ani L'Elokim V'Elokim Li? Right, something like I am to God and God is to me, or you know, you don't want to use Elokim because it's Midas Hadin. Okay, Ani LaHashem VaHashem Li. That would be Midas Harachmim. Why would we specifically around Chodesh Elul of all times highlight the fact that Hashem is our beloved? That Hashem is Lidodi around the time of Elul? That is question number one. What we're going to do is we're going to ask three questions, then we're going to develop an idea, then we're going to go back to answering all three questions. Someone raising their hand over there? Someone is raising their hand. He just doesn't want to be called on. Okay, the second question. In this week's parsha, the Torah tells us that we are banim lamakom, that we are children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says banim atem laHashem Elokeichem, that you are children to Hashem your God, which is a very important and beautiful teaching to think of ourselves as children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, we paskin this way lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea Simin Shinayin Siv Beis, Ramah quotes a Tshuva Sarashba that we paskin like the Shita of Rabbi Meir in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Vav, that Bein Kach U Bein Kach Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, that we paskin l'halacha that we are children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when we don't act like children to Hashem, we are always Hashem's children. Bein kach u'bein kach means regardless of how we're behaving, Hashem always sees us as His children. Now that teaching itself is not so surprising, that we are children to Hashem. What is surprising is, why does it appear in Shulchan Aruch? What exactly is happening? I mean, that doesn't sound like a halacha. That sounds like a hashkafa. Hashem loves you. You're Hashem's child. Well, why is that in Shulchan Aruch? So if you look at the context that it appears in Shulchan Aruch, it is the most curious of all contexts. The Isser that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is the Isser of lo siskodidu v'lo sisimu karcha bein einecham lameis. That if Rachmana Litzlan, lo aleinu, somebody dies, there is an Isser in the Torah that you're not allowed to cut yourself, you're not allowed to pull out your hair and make yourself bald as a sign of mourning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That this, for a relative rather, as a sign of mourning for a relative that a person has lost. It's an Isser in the Torah to overdo it with mourning to the point of self-mutilation, to the point that a person starts cutting themselves. If, God forbid, any of you ever sees somebody cutting themselves, you should immediately speak to somebody who can help them. They very likely have a major psychological issue that needs to be dealt with immediately before it gets worse than that. And the Torah tells us that one is not allowed, no matter how distressed we are, no matter how upset we are, no matter how, you know, if your favorite team lost the Super Bowl or whatever, it doesn't matter how upset you may be. Lo sasimu karcha ben einechem, lo siskodu. To do, you're not, and in that context, when the Shulchan Aruch says that, the Rama says, yeah, you know why? Because banim atem laHashem Elokeichem, because you're Hashem's children. Now, what does one have to do with the other? Why is banim latem Hashem Elokeichem connected to the Isser of cutting oneself, the Isser of Lo Siskodidu? And when I say we're going to have three questions, the third question. So we think about the tshuva process, which starts with full intensity on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And it's worth noting that according to the Mabit in the Beis Elokim in Shara Tshuva, Perek Yedalin, and according to the Bnei Yisaschar, Tshuva is a gift that was granted only to the Jewish people. The idea that we could do Tshuva to the level that we do it is not something that's like built into humanity. It's not a universal human condition. It's not something that Goyim can do. It's something that's unique for the Jewish people. The Malbim on Sefer Yonah writes that even the people of Nineveh, who, you know, are the examples that we use for tshuva on Yom Kippur itself, even they were only able to delay their punishment for a period of time through their tshuva. But they can never erase their sin entirely, because only Jewish people, through tshuva, have the ability to completely get rid of our averos. In fact, when you think of it in the context of the Yemei Hadin, it really doesn't make sense for tshuva to work. I mean, what are we doing? Like, we're being judged by Hashem. So imagine you're being judged in any other court, in any other... A guy robs a bank, right? So they bring him to court, and he stands trial, and he pleads with the judge, and he says, I feel so badly about robbing the bank, and I promise I will never rob a bank again. Look, I'm even banking my chest, so don't you believe me now that I'm never going to rob a bank again? Right? And he goes through this whole thing in a regular court of law, and he's sincere, and he's what's the best case scenario for someone like that? Best case scenario, the judge says, I'll send you to jail for less time than I otherwise would have, right? Best case scenario is the sentence gets lightened a little bit. That's the tshuva of the people of Nineveh. That's a tshuva that makes sense. But when we do our tshuva, It's not just that the sentence is minimized or delayed. No, it's completely gone. It's completely gone. Adrabah, we become rewarded for a lot of the things that we've done, as if they've become mitzvos. So what exactly are we to make of that? How does that make any sense? So again, just to review, three questions. Question number one, why ani l'dodi v'dodi li? Why of all the names of Hashem, my beloved, why not Elohim, Hashem, anything else? Second of all, what is the teaching of Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, of our being children of Hashem, have anything to do with the Yisr of Lo Sisko to do that? That's where the Ramah puts it in Shulchan Aruch. Why are the two connected? Lo Sisko to is the Yisr of cutting oneself when someone dies. And third, how does tshuva even work? Tshuva for Gayim makes sense because the only tshuva they have is that it will minimize the sentence or will delay the punishment. But how does our tshuva work, where it completely obliterates the sentence? So here's the idea. Here's the idea. And I think this is a worthwhile goal for Chodesh Elul and really for the entire tshuva process. I think it's very, very important, not just I think, all the people who talk about the value of this time of year, talk about the value of working on our sense of Ahavas Hashem, our sense of loving the Ribono Shel Olam. It's particularly important this time of the year because a person cannot compare the impact of doing tshuva from a sense of Ahava, from a sense of love, to doing tshuva from a sense of Yira, from a sense of fear. The Gemara tells us when you do tshuva meyira, your Averos turn into Averos that you did on purpose, turn into Averos that you did b'shogeg. But when you do tshuva me'ava, when you do tshuva out of a sense of love, the averos that you did on purpose turn into mitzvos, they turn into zechuyos. That's what the Gemara says, Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, that you all know. You've all heard this Gemara, read this Gemara, learned this Gemara. The Gemara says, why is it that we blow sets of Tkiya Shofar twice on Rosh Hashanah? Lama token amariyin k'shein yoshvin, v'token amariyin k'shein omdin. Why do we blow Tkiyas and Truos when we're sitting, and then again Tkiyas and Truos when we're standing? And the Gemara says, kedei la'arbeif ha-satan, to confuse the satan. Now, that's always a tricky line. What does that mean, to confuse the satan? So Rashi tells us, Rashi on the spot, shelo yastin, it will confuse the satan to the point that he won't be able to satanize or whatever. He won't be able to do his job. Why not? Says Rashi, kishashomea Yisrael mechavivin es ha-mitzvos mistatmin dvarav. When he hears how the Jewish people love the mitzvos, it closes him up. He's not able to say anything. It will prevent him from being makatrig, from making claims against us, because when he sees how much love we love mitzvos, he is silenced. Rabbi Kiveger in the Sefer Chut HaMeshulash asks, well, why would he be deterred when we do mitzvos? To the contrary, I would imagine that when he sees us doing mitzvos, he would gear up to make a stronger case against us. He would start gathering more evidence of all of our averos throughout the year. He would make a bigger case against us. Why does that close him up? So Bikivega says, because when the satan hears us blowing the shofar for the first time, he does start listing our averos and gathering the evidence against us and building the case against us, because he sees that we're trying to do tshuva, so he does whatever he can to stop it from happening. But then, when he hears us blow the shofar a second time, you know, why are they doing that? Why are they doing more than is demanded of them? Why are the Jewish people doing more than is required of them? And he realizes, oh, it's because they love mitzvos. It's because they love Hashem. It's because the relationship with Hashem is not just, oh, Hashem asked me to do something, so I must do what he asks. It's that I love him, and therefore I want to do whatever I can. That we develop a sense of ahava. Ooh, says Rabbi Kiveger something so brilliant. He says, you know what happens when you do tshuva me'ahava? All your averos turn into mitzvos. So the satan says to himself, uh-oh, I'm gathering together a list of all the averos. I'm going to make a case in court of all the averos that the Jewish people did. And then what's going to happen? They're going to do tshuva mei ahava. They're going to do tshuva from a sense of love. And you know what's going to be with my list? Hashem's going to say, oh, awesome. There are thousands and thousands of averos. Maybe you could find millions of averos, because they're all right now going to be flipped and they're going to turn into mitzvos. So the satan shuts up. He quiets down. He stops being mastin, because once he realizes that we're doing tshuva me'ava, he doesn't want to bring up any more averos. It confounds him and makes him stop. The Otzros HaTorah quotes a Sefer Torah Chaim, who suggests that that explains why it is when we eat those funny fruits and vegetables on the night of Rosh Hashanah, the simanim that we have in Rosh Hashanah. So one of the tefillos that we say is Yehi Ratzon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Sheyir B'Zuchu Yoseinu, that he should give us many, many Zuchuyos. What do you mean? That's not something it's up to Hashem to give us many zechuyos. You know how to get many zechuyos? Do more mitzvahs. That's how you get many zechuyos. What does that mean? We daven to Hashem, she'ir b'zechuyosenu, but maybe what we're saying is, Hashem, accept our tshuva me'ahava, accept our love. And when you accept our love, all of our averos will turn into zechuyos. And therefore, yir b'zechuyosenu. It's up to Hashem to accept and appreciate the sense of love that we're developing for Him. In fact, the Sefer Pnei David on Parsha Shoftim, written by the Chida, explains that that's why b'makom shebali tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yuchalim lamod. That where tzaddikim stand, where bali tshuva stand, rather, tzaddikim, the biggest tzaddikim, can't stand. They don't get near where bali tshuva are. Bali tshuva are on a higher level. Why? How many mitzvos can a tzaddik possibly do? How many mitzvos I say, how many positive mitzvos, which are the way we serve Hashem, how many positive mitzvos can a person do? So there are only 248 of them in the Torah. But a Baal Tshuva can take the 365 averos that he's violated, and if he does tshuva me'ava, it turns those into mitzvos. So he has the capacity for more mitzvos, more opportunities for coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Dibna Magid gives a mashal. He gives a mashal of a couple that was engaged, and the chassan was from a very poor family, whereas the kala was from a very wealthy family. So the father of the kala says, you know what, I'll pay for the whole wedding. You know, when the mechtanim met, father of the kala says, I'll pay for the whole wedding. And he tells the chassan's father, you just take care of the chassan's suit, right? You take care of his suit, I'll pay for everything else. So the chassan's father puts a small amount of money together, whatever he can, and he buys an average-priced suit for the chassan. Nothing particularly fancy. He can't afford anything fancy. Chassan is traveling to his kala's town in advance of the wedding, and he was wearing his suit. He doesn't have two suits. He's wearing the suit that he has for the wedding, and he falls and he tears his suit. So when his father-in-law sees him, he immediately takes the chassan and he says, come to my tailor, we'll make you a new one. And he buys a custom-made suit with the finest fabric, and it's the most expensive, and got the colored buttonhole or whatever, that people use to show that they're getting their suits custom-made, or whatever, they got the unbuttoned sleeves, or whatever people do to show how spitzy they are, right? So he's got his custom-made suit, he's got it all, and the shver tells the father-in-law, tells the son-in-law, now that I'm the one buying you a suit, I'm not going to buy you the type of suit you would buy for yourself. I'm going to buy you the kind of suit that I would wear. The best fabric, beautifully tailored. It's going to be a perfect fit. So the Maggid explains, when we do mitzvos that we could do. They're not perfect. They're not great. We do mitzvos. They come with their flaws, because we're flawed. We're not perfect. But when a person does tshuva me'ava, who's generating the mitzvos? Hashem takes our averos, and Hashem is the one that turns them into mitzvos. So Hashem says, these mitzvos I'm manufacturing. When I give you mitzvos, do you think I'm going to give you the kind of mitzvos you can do for yourself? No, I'm going to give you mitzvos that you can't do for yourself. It's going to be the most beautiful fabric, perfectly tailored. It's going to be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. So I'm going to give you mitzvos that are perfect. And that's what we gain when we do a sense of tshuva me'ava. So now that we know how important it is to work on Avas Hashem, the next step in all of our minds has to be, okay, I want to love Hashem. How do I do that? How do I achieve Avas Hashem? And the truth is there could be many, many, many different answers to this question. One thing is probably to work on our Yediyas Hashem, our knowledge of Hashem, and that really affects all of the mitzvos that we do. I heard Meir Tversky on an old Torah web shiur. By the way, if you like listening to Torah on podcasts, all the Torah Web Shiurim from Rav Schechter and Rav Twersky and Rav Lapiansky. They're all on, it's all, and Rav Willig, all these amazing Hashkafa Shiurim, Rav Neuberger, are all on podcasts now. So I highly recommend that for your long bus rides, for those of you who are interested in learning and are B'nai Torah and want to hear Torah Hashkafa. It's a fantastic, fantastic resource. But Rav Twersky, in one of those Shiurim, said, like, imagine a person keeps Shabbos perfectly. He observes every detail of Hilchos Shabbos. But he does it because he thinks that Mr. Potato Head commanded him in Hilchos Shabbos. Meaning he thinks that, he doesn't realize, Rabbi Twersky didn't say Mr. Potato Head, he said someone from, I don't know, from some other cartoon that I wasn't familiar with, so I'm going with Mr. Potato Head. So he said, Mr. Potato Head commanded him in Hilchos Shabbos. So is he really keeping Shabbos? Meaning, is there any value to that Shabbos? So, when a person keeps Shabbos because he has this amount of knowledge of Hashem, a tiny knowledge of Hashem, all right, so he's keeping Shabbos. But if he knows Hashem this much, right, if he has that much of an understanding of Hashem, ooh, now his Shabbos is much higher level. And if it's this much, so Shabbos is a much higher level. The more we get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we try to understand Hashem, the greater we're going to have a sense of Avas Hashem, and the greater all of our mitzvahs are going to be. But I want to suggest two ways to work on Avas Hashem, and then we'll circle back and answer our questions. First is, the easiest way to love anybody is to recognize that they love you. Meaning, when someone shows love to you, the natural inclination, kemayim panim al panim, is to reflect that love back. Rabbi Kivega writes that the most effective way to achieve Avas Hashem is just to realize and internalize that Hashem loves us. It's just part of human nature that we love those who love us. When you want to get somebody to love you and to respect you, love and respect them. And that's the best way. It's not by buying them nice things. It's not by doing things for them. It's just loving them and respecting them. The more you genuinely feel that, the more you're going to get that right back from them. You know, right before we say V'yahavta es Hashem in Shema, not V'yahavta, there's no such thing, that would be incorrect. V'yahavta es Hashem, when we say V'yahavta es Hashem in Shema, we remind ourselves in the Birchus Kriya Shema that Hashem is Bocher Ba'amo Yisrael B'ahava. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us B'ahava. And only once we say that Hashem chose us with love, then we say V'yahavta es Hashem Elokecha, that we are commanded to love Hashem. Because when we realize that Hashem loves us, we'll then come to a greater recognition of our own love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the second trick is to help, is that it also helps to view ourselves as Hashem's children. The very first love a child feels after he's born is the love from his parents. In a certain sense, that love is more intense than any other love because it's natural, it's innate. It doesn't have to be, taught. It doesn't have to be developed. It's not like, you know, baby's born, right now he just poops his pants and cries a lot. You know, I'll see if there's anything worth loving, you know. It's not like that. There's no, like, cheshbon, like, oh, should I, shouldn't I love him? It's just, it's automatic. The Mesillas Yesharim says that with the love we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an ava tivis. It's a natural love because it's the love a child has for a parent, and the love Hashem has for us is love a parent has for a child. So based on that notion, that Avas Hashem is critical to the avoda of tshuva, and is a function of our relationship as banim l'makom, as being children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's how you build Ava, we can answer all three questions that we started with. We discussed, why is it that tshuva works for the Jewish people? Meaning, after all, I would think that it doesn't make sense when you come to in front of a human, you know, court, a human judge, and you say that you regret it and this and that, he may lighten your sentence, he may delay your sentence, but to totally take it away, tshuva works for the Jewish people even during the Yemei Adin, because we're not going in front of a judge. We're going in front of our father. The question about the bank robber pleading with the judge for mercy, it's a faulty assumption. We're not pleading with a judge. We're pleading with our father. The Bnei Yisrael points out that the halacha is melech shemachal al kavodo ein kavodo machal. If a king tries to be mochal his kavod, it doesn't work. But a av shemachal al kavodo, kavodo machal, if a father is mochal on his kavod, it does work. Non-Jews can hope for a stay in their sentencing or a lighter sentence because they're subjects in front of a king. But Bnei Yisrael, we can achieve full mechilo because we are banim l'Hashem Elokeichem. As far as Why? What does it have to do with losis go to do with the isra of cutting oneself in mourning? We're told banim la'Hashem Elokeichem in the context of losis go to do, because in times of great distress, in times of loss, in times of avelos, it's very easy for a person to forget that Hashem loves us, and it's specifically at those times that we need a reminder, banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. Recognize that Hashem loves you, no matter what, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter how difficult things might be at a given moment, Hashem loves you, and therefore we are charged to love Him back. And finally, the reason we highlight that Hashem is Dodi during Chodesh Elul, my beloved, not Hashem Elu, Anilash Lelukim Velukim Eli, and not, you know, Velukim Li, or not Anilashem Vashem Li, and not none Anil Dodi, Hashem is my beloved, is because the Ikar Avoda, our primary Avoda, is to build our sense of Avas Hashem. Because once we build a sense of Avas Hashem, we'll be more capable of doing a proper tshuva me'ahava. That's the goal. Now, here's the do now. Here's what I'm leaving you guys with, even if you didn't follow all of that. Part of achieving that goal is to realize, you know, if you're going to recognize that you're a child of God, you have to realize you have a lot of siblings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has lots and lots of children. I can tell you as a parent, there are few things that give a parent greater distress than when their kids are fighting with each other. And there are a few things that give a parent greater nachas than when children get along with each other. You guys all know that intuitively, right? If you want to push your parents' buttons and get them upset at you, you know, just pick a fight with one of your siblings. It will drive them nuts. But if you want to give a sense of there's a little trick you just learned from me. But if you want to give them a sense of nachas, then getting along with each other, taking care of each other, that gives the greatest nachas to the father and to the mother. One of the etzos to be successful in the Yemei Hadin and realize Chodesh Elul is right around the corner, it's coming up, we bench Rosh Chodesh Shabbos, is to recognize that we are children, which means all of us are children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that next time, you know, on impact, you know, there's a late night snack and it looks like there's only one, I don't know, I seem to remember a lot of late night food coming into to impact, but there's some sort of late night snack and there's only one thing left of whatever, one cinnamon bun left, or one and there's someone that didn't get one, but you know, you got your second one or whatever, you know, don't grab it, find the person who didn't get one and make sure that he gets one. If someone you know, when they're rooming requests in various hotels or whatever, I'm sure that's all worked out already, but always look for the guy, look for the one who needs a little bit of help, look for the person who can use a little bit of chizik. Someone doesn't have who to hang out with in an amusement park one day, look for the person who could use a little bit of chizik. There's no better way to approach Chodesh Elul than to go with that approach, with that idea that we are banim la'Hashem, which means we are all banim la'Hashem, and the best thing we can do is to take care of others who are also banim la'Hashem elokei. I hope you guys have a great time over the rest of the summer or the week you have left. And it's been a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Rebbe, thank you very much.
No, but fine. Can you hear me or no?
Yes.
I just wanted to thank Rebbe Leibowitz also from New Jersey. We're not as cool. We're not in Cleveland. But thank you very much, Rebbe Leibowitz, for really gracing us with an amazing share. So, shkoyach, and miss you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. My pleasure.
Thank you, Rebbe.